Good morning. Welcome to Maryland Morning. I'm Sheila Cast. Respect for human dignity, protecting patients' health, advocating for patients' rights. These are just a few of the provisions in the Nursing Code of Ethics. How does that code of ethics play out in the real world? What happens when a nurse's ethics are challenged? And what structures are in place to help nurses care for patients in ways they know they should? Those questions were taken up at a three-day Nursing Ethics Summit at the Johns Hopkins School of Nursing last August. We spoke then about some of these issues with Dr. Cinda Hilton Rushton, a professor of clinical ethics at Johns Hopkins University School of Nursing. She organized the Ethics Summit. We also spoke by phone with Laurie Badzik, a nurse attorney and a professor of nursing at West Virginia University. I began by asking Professor Badzik what ethical considerations a nurse must weigh in her daily work life.
I think the first three provisions are probably the ones that show up most often in a nurse's practice. And those provisions actually deal sort of with nurse-to-patient interactions.
So most of us aren't that familiar with the Nurse's Code of Ethics, so what are those first three?
Well, the first provision talks about the nurse practicing with compassion and respect, thinking about the inherent dignity, worth, and uniqueness of each person. The second provision talks about the nurse's primary commitment being to the patient, whether that patient's an individual, a family, or a group. And the third provision is the provision that states that the nurse will promote and advocate and protect the health and safety and the rights of the patient.
Dr. Rushton, the media announcement of this Nursing Ethics Summit refers to, quote, the ethical issues that keep nurses up at night, close quote. Give me an example.
There are so many examples of things that keep nurses up at night, ranging from conflicts between what patients want, perhaps what their family wants, and perhaps even what the medical team wants. So an example would be a patient we cared for not long ago who had cancer and had many rounds of chemotherapy and then had a relapse, had another recurrence. And she was faced with a question of, should I pursue more treatment or should I sort of let this disease progress? Well, she had her own views about that, and her children, who she was very sensitive to their concerns, felt she ought to press on. And she wasn't so sure about that. But in the end, she decided to go forward, and she pursued more chemotherapy. And then she had a very serious blood infection. She was admitted to the intensive care unit and didn't have the capacity any longer to speak for herself. Her children disagreed about whether they should press on or not. There was disagreement between the oncologist and the ICU doctor. And the nurse was in the middle of that, trying to understand the perspectives of each of those parties and also trying to figure out, how do I honor this woman? How do we provide ethical care for her in the middle of this kind of conflict? These are everyday occurrences.
Laurie Badzik, does a nurse who's in a hospital or in a private practice have time to think about ethics?
I think they think about ethics a lot. I don't know that they actually resolve dilemmas in a hurry, and we hope that they actually think through them. But certainly they're challenged to think about ethics because of the different things, examples like Cinda has given you, as well as other issues that impact their practice. The fatigue of nurses coming into work in situations where there aren't enough nurses. Certainly, you know, they need to, you know, they do think about that because they're faced with it. And then there are other issues such as the new electronic health records and social media. So all of these things are impinging upon their practice. So I think they are faced with the issues, so they do think about it. And, you know, they, you know, hopefully, you know, use their code of ethics.
Dr. Rushton,
make decisions around those ethical issues.
Dr. Rushton, at the summit this week, the Nursing Ethics Summit, how is that going to touch on what we've been talking about?
So the premise of the Nursing Ethics Summit is that nurses are confronted with these issues every day, and that it's an important time. The urgency in our healthcare system for change really requires us to pause and reset our ethical compass and to reflect on how, as a profession, we are going to uphold these important values. So we are, for the first time ever, bringing together a group of nurse ethicists, representatives from our strategic partners, nursing organizations, including the American Nurses Association and nine others, to create a roadmap for 21st century nursing. What is it? What are the qualities and competencies that nurses need to practice ethically now and in the future? How does that translate into clinical practice, into education? And what are the policies and structures that are needed to help nurses practice ethically? And how can we create an evidence base through research to support them to do the right thing in the right way for the right reason?
On WIPR, this is Maryland Morning. I'm Sheila Cass, speaking with Dr. Cinda Hilton Rushton, nursing professor at Johns Hopkins School of Nursing, and with Laurie Badzik, West Virginia University nurse attorney. We're talking about ethical issues that nurses face. Professor Badzik, you direct the American Nurses Association Center for Ethics and Human Rights, and I understand that it's working on an update of the Code of Ethics. Are there gaps? Are there holes in it?
For the most part, the Code of Ethics is in good shape. It's a 2001 Code of Ethics that we are revising, but there are some gaps. You know, healthcare and nursing and medicine are constantly changing. And so, for example, things that were not included in the 2001 Code that have come about are social media and genomics. These are words that, you know, we didn't really use back in the late 90s when we revised that code. And so the new terminology is being inserted into the Code of Ethics in the places that are most helpful to nurses. The other thing that the code does is it, as we revise the code, we're able to clarify areas of the code where the nurses are seeking more information or more help. So, for example, areas like conscientious objection and areas of the code that relate to the nursing's perspective and commitment to the broader society and to global health, which again is an issue that's been around but hasn't really been clarified, are in the new revised code that will come out in 2015.
Does the Affordable Care Act, Obamacare, raise any new issues? You mentioned social media and electronic medical records as sort of new frontiers.
Certainly it does. And the Affordable Health Care Act and, you know, the IOM Future of Nursing Report have changed nursing's perspective and made it even more important for nurses to be leaders in ethical, you know, care so that we can assure that patients get, you know, safe, quality, effective care. And so it does play into it in the sense that, you know, as a whole, overall, the code, you know, is written now more for all nurses in leadership positions as well as at the bedside, those in education and those in research. And so, you know, we continue to clarify that the code is for all groups and that all nurses must work together, which is what's so wonderful and so important about the summit, that we're bringing all of these perspectives together to look at, you know, what are the needs of the future nurse.
Dr. Rushton, what do nursing students learn about ethics in school?
Well, it's quite variable, and that's one of the areas that we're going to focus on. In our own program here at Johns Hopkins, we have just gone through a curriculum revision and making the foundation of ethics much more explicit. In the graduate program, I teach a core course for all of our graduate nursing students that really focuses on giving them the knowledge, the skills, the competence to be able to recognize and respond to ethical issues, to have a process of analyzing what the different points of view are and how we balance these different perspectives. But really importantly, how do we help nurses have the confidence to speak up and speak out once they've recognized that there's a threat to an important ethical principle? How do they work and communicate effectively with patients and families, with their interprofessional colleagues, and with administrators to come to decisions that we can all live with? And clearly, ethical issues often, we find there's not any easy answers. And for that reason, we have to learn how to deal with uncertainty.
We're down to just a minute or so. Dr. Badzik, what do nurses need to make this work? Can you give me a sort of a short idea to hang on to?
I think that they need exactly what Cinda was saying. They need a mechanism to use as their own process of ethical decision-making to determine what conflicts exist and whether or not they can resolve that conflict on their own. And if they cannot resolve it, then they need to go to the other mechanisms, to their leadership, to their ethics committees, to their colleagues, so that they can deal with these ethical issues. Because what we know is that nurses who are able and have more knowledge about ethics and can move through a process of ethical decision-making experience less distress in their workplace.
Thank you both for talking to us about it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Dr. Cindy Hilton Rushton is the Anne and George Bunting Professor of Clinical Ethics at Johns Hopkins University. Laurie Badzik, who grew up in Baltimore, is a nurse attorney and professor of nursing at West Virginia University. We spoke in August. We've got a link to a report that came out of the Nursing Ethics Summit. That's at our website, wypr.org/Maryland Morning. I'm Sheila Cast, ahead on Maryland Morning, how to keep those New Year's diet resolutions. Stay with us on 88.1.